Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
There's a whole philosophy that is being taught even through scriptures. Well, you know, the end justifies the mean. I'm going to be just like you so that I can reach you. It's flawed. It doesn't work.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. We'll continue our study of the book of 1 Peter today as Pastor takes us to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 21, and he shares with us a message called Staying Clean in a Corrupt Society.
If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 1. Those of you that have been here for a while know we've been preaching on the whole theme of making a difference. This is our theme for the year and picking the general epistles. This fall we preached through James, and now we're into 1 Peter, and I preached a series of many other messages about the whole idea of being hope-filled in hurtful times, because our world is hurting. And God says, I'm going to give you hope to do that. And we preached about that in the first couple of verses. And then a few weeks ago, we preached on the idea of smiling when you are in suffering times, in times of suffering, from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. And we finished with the idea in verse 12 that God had given this salvation through the prophets, by the Holy Spirit, and even through the apostles, people that went before us and taught truth, that led us to verse 13 through 21. This is where we want to start today and preach through this short passage, verse 13 to 21 of 1 Peter. Today's message called Staying Clean in a Corrupt Society. And Peter makes this emphasis through what I think to be some very simple statements. Philippians 2:15 says, prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Notice the word, in the midst of. Though we are not to be of the world, we are to be in the world. And shortly before he rested, Jesus said it this way in John 17, Lord, he said, God, I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. But how do I live in that? Is that what God wants us to do? How do we do that? And on that backdrop, this is where you find Peter in 1 Peter 3 giving for the believers five incentives to help us live purely in an impure world, a clean in a corrupt world, and helping us to maintain a different lifestyle. These are the five. Notice, if you would, in verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying very simply right there? And he says, here's the first incentive, that you would realize the return of Christ is an incentive to help you live clean in a corrupt society. In other words, he says the idea, the revelation of Jesus Christ, look in verse 13, the revelation is another expression for the living hope or the appearing of Jesus Christ. Christians live in the future tense. Their present actions, their decisions are governed by that future hope. So like an engaged couple makes all their plans in light of the future wedding, Christians today live for the expectation of seeing Jesus Christ. And he says, not only should we live of a disciplined mind, but he says to be sober, and he uses it three times. He uses the idea of gird up the loins of your mind. Now, that's kind of an antiquated biblical statement, but when Peter wrote that, everybody knew what that was. Everybody knew that for Peter to make the idea, gird up the loins of your mind, it's the same idea that Paul also used. Gird up means to pull up, pull together. The loins is the most private, close part to you, not of your body now, he says, of your mind. He's simply what our vernacular would be, pull it together, get it all together. The image of a road man tucking his tunic under the belt so he can be free to run. That got me interested about that. How in the world does that work? Because the goal in all of this is to pull your thinking together. To not let loose ends fly out there doctrinally or even in your own lifestyle to be exposed constantly to stuff that gets your mind thinking loosely. To pull it together. It was a great picture for Peter to be able to use as his mind probably reflected back to the Passover, as he refers to Christ as a Passover lamb in Exodus 12. The Jews, the Passover, were supposed to eat the meal in haste. So they were to get themselves ready, because as soon as they ate, they were taken off. And Peter's saying, listen, you know what a motive is for you? Living in the world we live in is you're not going to be here long. You know what his point is very simply is? Life's not long. It's almost over. You be ready for who Christ is. And it's a constant theme of this. Look at verse 21. He says, he gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. There's a hope there. It's coming. The end is happening, and it's going to be very, very quickly. And many times we get so far down in our day-to-day living that we forget it's coming. Many of us, all of us, travel at some point to another, and you have a trip that's coming. Your mind's on that. Okay, let's get this thing prepared ahead so that you're ready to go. And this is all Peter's saying. Listen, your incentive is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Number two, look, if you would, in verse 13 and 14. This is how he says it in verse 13 and 14 when he makes the statement that as obedient children, now he's changing terms, saying, listen, you're an obedient child, and because you're an obedient child, don't fashion, don't conform yourself, look at the Bible, according to the former lusts, the former passions that you lived in your ignorance. That's a great term, in your ignorance. You know what he's saying is? The unsaved world, they don't know any better. They're in ignorance. They just don't know any better. They don't need, Christian, your scorn. They need your love to know, hey, they don't know any better. You are in the same boat. This is why Peter says, you know what incentive is? Your incentive is really the holiness of God. This is what the context is when he says, don't live in the former passions of your ignorance, but as you which have been called to be holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, in every walk, in every way of your life or your conduct, because it is written, and he quotes here Leviticus, he says, you be holy as I'm holy. And he takes an Old Testament concept and he makes it a New Testament truth. And what is this? And let me tell you something. This is where a huge difference is between multiple religions as well as a lifestyle that you look at. What is Peter saying? He very simply making the statement, the argument here is logical and simple. Children inherit the nature of their parents. God is holy, therefore, as his children, we should live holy lives. We are partakers of his divine nature. And the very meaning of the word holy, there's three terms of it in the New Testament. I'm not a scholar in Greek, but I do know these are the three. One of those has the idea of being ritually holy. It's the idea and kind of implied of the Old Testament. God's holy. He's on his throne in the tabernacle and then in the temple. It's holy. The second term of holiness has the idea, it's reflecting piety. It's an idea of a holy life. But the third term, and the term that's used here, is the idea of hagos, which would be frankly mean the New Testament. Let me pull this straight out. Notice, this is how they say it. And I think it's true. These were reinforced with the New Testament presenting a dynamic concept of holiness as moral purity expressed in living with the common and the profane. The believers are to separate themselves, listen, from evil while living among people who remain uncommitted to the divine standards. And in Christian experience, the holy is not kept rigorously distinct from ordinary life. Instead, the essence of holiness is a dynamic expression of the divine within the normal processes of daily life, unquote. Or when you read verse 15, in all manner of conversation, Peter goes on to explain, in all you do, it's as God's obedient children living by his will as strangers without our cultures. And in fear of looking odd or being rejected, we have a tendency to say, well, I don't know. But the fact is that Peter took something that all the meanings of the Old Testament, where the Jews, his children, were holy, they were distinct, they were different. Ringlets for the boys, certain haircuts, men being circumcised, with the ladies and how their attire was, they were wholly different as Hebrews. And Peter, who is a Jew, was saying, listen, I'm taking this idea and knowing what Jesus' teachings were is putting you in the place. I'm not telling you, Peter's saying, you go out now and be holy like the Old Testament in living totally separate and never in contact with anybody in their world. He's saying, I'm taking that and putting you inside your world now so you have contact with your world and you are to be, another word for holy, be different. For you to be able to make a difference, you've got to be different. Now, what does that mean? Okay, I got to be holy? When I was a kid, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I'm thinking, what's holy? What does that mean? It means you're different. And now I'm being told, Peter's saying, listen, I've got to be in my world and be holy so that I'm different. It starts in the inside with my spirit because the Holy Spirit lives in my spirit as a child of God. So I'm going to be different in my own conversations and what I say, my own contact and what I do. So it's not going to be led to be out in some place in Utah or some island in the middle of the Pacific where nobody is, because now I've been taken out of contact with anybody. And Peter's saying, I don't want that. I want you to be in a place that you had been imitators of that old world. You were fashioning yourselves around the standards and pleasures of the world. Romans 12:2 translated is the same idea of being conformed to this world, pressed into its mold. Like a piece of Play-Doh, you're squeezing, you do whatever you want with it. That's exactly what the world wants to do with you, Christian. I'm going to squeeze you into the mold so you look just like me, so you are not going to make me feel bad. Has that happened? Have there been churches where that happened so that, you know what, a person that's unsaved, they're living in their ignorance, comes around you and they start shaping you, so pretty soon churches can be that way. You're molded and shaped just exactly what the world is, so you look just like the world and there's no difference. That's exactly what Peter's saying. Listen, don't end up living that. Don't let them conform you because you're going to make them feel bad. I don't want you to make me feel bad, so I'm going to make you just like me. And there's a whole philosophy that is being taught even through scriptures. Well, you know, the end justifies the mean. I'm going to be just like you so that I can reach you. It's flawed. It doesn't work. Peter says, hey, listen, you be holy. You be in a place because it's what's written, but I'm not saying go live away from everybody and don't have any contact. You know what that comes with? That comes with risks.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us at this same time on Monday for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.